Deep in the heart of Appalachia, guys set out on a quest to create the greatest podcast.
Sorry, dude. I thought we agreed on the correct pronunciation of Appalachia.
No, dude. We've talked about this. We've talked about this over and over and over. It's pronounced Appalachia.
Listen, freaking angels and the women got together. That's how we got Bigfoot. That's how we got vampires. That's why we got all of this stuff.
These ancient Appalachian mountains that are literally older than bones. There's old entities here. When you start finding out more about them, they start finding out more about you.
Good Lord, sir. This goose has gone rabid. You think you're just going to run up with your little sword on the king of the goose squad?
Listen, the old entities of Middle Appalachia are unexplainable. They are eerie.
Breach.
And they are one of these things that will keep us, the hill folks, and the people who live in the area, constantly searching for answers. That they probably will never, ever find. And this is why we love Appalachian Intelligence.
Hey, folks, and welcome back to another episode of AI, Appalachian Intelligence. We're here again from the beautiful camper studio on beautiful Pleasure Drive. Your host for today, Justin Kaiser, and my main man,
Ryan
Ratliff. Glad to see you guys again since we're on YouTube. Make sure you go check out our YouTube channel at Appalachian Intelligence. Hit that like button, subscribe to that. Follow us, guys. Hit the notification button so you know when we're dropping stuff. We're going to be doing some shorts. We have a couple of investigations that we've talked about doing coming up.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be a lot of things on YouTube that we're really excited about. Also, hello to our listeners. If you're just checking this out through podcasting, whatever podcasting platform that you use, hello and welcome back to you guys. Today we have an awesome episode ready for you all.
It's one of my favorite subjects.
Yeah, I think
I'm excited.
It's one of a lot of people's favorite subjects, I think,
for a long time. I've been, like I say, I'm not 100% sold on it. I want it to be real so bad. I want this to be real. I want them to be out there. And you know what? By saying that, I'm kind of calling my dad a liar because, you know, I'm going to share one of his experiences.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not that I'm calling him a liar. It's just, you know, I need to see things for me myself to.
Yeah, that's understandable.
I'm a doubting Thomas. That's what I am. I'm just a.
You are. You have to see the facts.
See
you
these
have
holes,
to
Thomas.
See.
Put your fingers in them if you don't believe me. But
you have to see the facts. And maybe one of these days, you'll be allowed to see the holes, and it'll make you a believer like that.
Maybe.
But since we've been hitting around so much and leaving you guys in so much suspense for the last 2 minutes, we'll get into what we're talking about today and what this episode is about. And today, we're going to be talking about, it goes by many names in many different cultures and countries all across the world, but just some names that this creature goes by is the Yeti, the Abominable Snowman, the Mete, the Yowie, the Yahoo, the Mapinguari, the Orang Minyak, the Skunk Ape, the Wild Man. We're talking about Sasquatch, Bigfoot. And around here,
the wood booger.
The wood booger. So that's it, guys.
He's got his own restaurant, by the way.
He does.
It's delicious. It's fresh roadkill on a side of leaves.
That's actually one of the order options.
It is.
Yeah. But today we're talking about Bigfoot. I hope you guys are excited about it as excited about it as we are. I think me and Ryan both, we were talking earlier, you know, we've both been into the Bigfoot lore, at least, since the time we were little kids.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's just, it's a super interesting topic to get into. You know, locally here, like he was talking, like Ryan was talking about, we have a restaurant called the Wood Booger. We have a Wood Booger statue. And every time we say Wood Booger, we're talking about Sasquatch. We have a statue close to a place, like a public park kind of place. But you know, just the interest in this topic is huge for both of us.
Oh yeah.
So I hope that you guys are as interested in it as we are. And like Ryan said a minute ago, you know, there's accounts everywhere, all across, you know, every culture in the world.
You know, as you're looking into it and trying to look at sightings and all that, or look up history on Bigfoot, Sasquatch, whatever you want to call it, they say mostly they'll claim they live in the Pacific Northwest in Canada. However, Ohio itself seems to be, and I actually think the BFRO, Bigfoot Research Organization,
yeah,
are based out of Ohio, because mm-hmm. they weren't far from where I lived in Ohio. Like
Ohio is huge, and Pennsylvania is yeah. huge. I think Pennsylvania is ranked third in the country with Bigfoot sightings.
Yeah.
So I'm going to call it Bigfoot for this episode, because that's kind of what I grew up calling it. You can call it whatever you want to.
I think I'll go with Bob.
You can call it the Orang Minyak this entire time if you want to. I think that would be way more amusing.
The more focused I get, I'll never be able to do that. So I'm just going to stay the course, and it's either if I say Bob, if I say Sasquatch, if I say Bigfoot, if I say it.
They know what we're talking about.
It's the subject.
Oh, folks. And also, really quick, this is going to be part one of a two-part episode.
Yes.
Okay. So part one today, we're going to be talking about a little bit about the history of Bigfoot. You know, when accounts started coming from, you know, a few theories based on what people believe Bigfoot may be. We're going to look at and dive into a couple of those theories, but for the next, and we'll probably talk about some accounts that we've heard and while we're talking, especially while we're talking about the theories.
Oh yeah.
But the next episode that we're going to drop will be actual accounts from people. Hopefully we'll have a guest on for the next episode that can give a firsthand account, Bigfoot sighting. But if not, there's millions of Bigfoot accounts out there to read from. So I think we could probably choose our favorite three or four out of those and share those and talk about them a little bit. Kind of like we did with the missing 411 episode.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and one of the other things I was going to tell you, as far as the names go, the Midwestern Ojibwe tribe, actually, they were the one who coined Wendigo.
Really?
Yes, or Waitiko or Witiko, but they also call it the Wendigo.
Huh.
So,
I thought the Wendigo was like something completely different.
I did too. However, that tribe in itself and a lot of Native American tribes felt like Bigfoot was an omen of something bad to come. Like it was a spiritual thing.
Right.
Not a physical being. Whenever they encountered them, they assumed that it was a warning for something bad heading their way. Hence why they call it the Wendigo.
Hmm. That makes sense. And while we're there, you know, that's when these Bigfoot sightings, you know, they go back at least to the 1500s, you know, in not actual recordings, but oral traditions and cave paintings and, you know, some of the artwork that came around with the Native American tribes during that time. You know, they go back at least that far. But like we were talking about earlier today, the Epic of Gilgamesh, one of the first written documents of mankind, you know, of civilization period,
yeah,
speaks of a wild man, a man beast, that the protagonist of the story, Gilgamesh, battles with and befriends eventually. So it's almost that. That basis and that thought of a Bigfoot-like creature you know, Sasquatch, a wild man of some sort. I mean, from what I can gather and looking back at written history, has pretty much always been there. You know, there's always been some kind of idea or thought that there's some form of ape-like, you know, ape, human, hybrid, whatever you want to call it, creature out there that we just can't quite get a grasp on. That we can't just, you know, get hard, real evidence of.
Yeah.
So the history goes back to at least the 1500s, but probably way, 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 way farther back, maybe even to the earliest known civilizations of mankind. So for me, that's, you know, and I know before we ever even get in, I'm like you. I want Bigfoot to be real.
Yeah.
I've never seen a Bigfoot. Now, unlike you, I don't have to see everything to believe it.
We know, Justin.
At this point, everybody knows.
We know, Justin.
Everybody knows at this point. And we may get into Justin's crazy corner again throughout this episode. That's pretty much a guarantee. Each episode we do, you're going to go to Justin's crazy corner.
Yeah. And I'll be there to bail you out, folks, with a couple of jokes.
You don't need bailed out because you're entering the truth zone. Gosh, that was good, wasn't it?
No, that was terrible.
That was not terrible. That was really good, I thought.
The truth zone.
Justin, I mean, it sounded good at the time.
Truth zone.
It sounded really good at the time.
Something else that I learned today. One of the big things people want to talk about with Bigfoot is, you know, there was Gigantopithecus. What mm-hmm. if it's just leftover of Gigantopithecus? What if they weren't extinct? Well, here's the problem with that. And this is what I learned today. Gigantopithecus wasn't a hominin or a hominid. So the difference in those two are family groups, things like that, whether you're hominin or hominid.
Right.
Also, Bigfoot is said to be bipedal.
Yep.
Man-like features. You can see the buttocks. You can see the shape of the chest. You can see the arms. Gigantopithecus didn't have any of that.
Really?
Really.
I didn't know that.
So they would have to evolved into the being that we call Bigfoot, which is not out of the question. We know evolution exists. Not in the ways, you know, I'm not going to say that.
Some
people believe evolution was all there is. However, I know evolution exists because we see it all the time.
Yeah.
It's everywhere. Like, there's physical.
Well, every creature, every animal adapts to their environment.
Exactly.
They live.
Look at an elephant. So if you go by, what's that guy's name? I hate that. When you just lose it, it's like Bernard or Gerard's theory.
Gerard Butler?
No.
Gerard Butler's theory on Bigfoot. I'm making this worse. Sorry. Go ahead.
Now I can't even remember what I was talking about. However,
Gigantopithecus. Hominid.
No. The theory. That guy's theory is basically talking about the creatures will match the environment, which, you know, we kind of knew from, you know, evolution. However, he went into further detail as far as Bigfoots are concerned. When you look in the upper northwest corners in Canada, rougher, colder climate, lots of rain through Washington State, Oregon, all that. Those sightings tend to have larger creatures than you would in... Based off the climate. Then you would down in
Florida. Well, see, that would kind of make sense because in Florida, with the skunk ape, what they call it, it's a small creature.
Yeah.
You know, it's not very big at all. What they describe, what accounts describe is a 4 to 5 feet.
The Australian Yowie.
Yep.
Small. However, he also went in to say that doesn't mean that they can't exist in those other climates as larger creatures, because elephants, for example, have all those veins that run through their ears. They live in some of the hottest climates in the world. There are desert elephants. And simply fan their ears to cool that blood rushing through those veins, which cools their body temperature even in the midst of the sun.
Hmm.
So he was kind of going, breaking it down into, it doesn't have to be a cold climate for it to be, you know, white or brown or black or gray or whatever, large or small. It's kind of like there are humans mm-hmm. on this world. We don't all look alike.
No, that's true.
Some of us have red hair. Some of us have no hair.
Have no, yeah, you said it.
Some have more melanin in their skin. Some have less. There are albino people out there. They're all different shapes and sizes.
Different creeds and colors of the same race.
If this was an intelligent being living out that doesn't want to be seen or found or messed with or anything else, why can't there be a variety of them as well?
That's- yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that 100%. I mean, just like you said, if there's not very many species at all that they're all identical. And that's why when you hear these accounts, and, you know, over the years, I've probably listened to thousands and thousands of firsthand accounts, you know, Bigfoot sightings. And as much as they all have the same kind of story, they're all totally different, if that makes sense at all. You know, the way they describe, you know, sometimes the gait and all these different things, you know, it's usually the same. Size, gait, you know, all these different things is usually the same. But, you know, a lot of times the way they describe the way they looked is totally different. You know, totally and completely different. You know, some say conical head, some say round head, some say large neck, some say no neck, some say white, brown, red, black. Some say black eyes. Some say red glowing eyes. Some say, I mean, it's just, you know, you get all these different accounts of what these things look like. So I think that would back up what you're saying and what this doctor, scientist, you know, whoever, is, what he's saying, because people have seen it, supposedly.
Yeah.
And the way they describe seeing it, that's it. You know, it's all different shapes and sizes and colors and, you know, different eye color.
And, you know, as far as the scientific community's stance on it, no body, no evidence.
Exactly.
No creature exists. And I tend to stand on the side of science.
Not
most of the time.
You always stand on the side of science.
Well, today I'm going to surprise you.
Oh,
because,
snap.
I have some retorts to those. Why haven't we ever found a body? Well, if it's an actual...
We're going there quick.
If it's an actual intelligent being, okay, for how long have humans buried their dead?
Probably forever. Probably as long as there's been humans.
I should have looked that up before we come in so I could further press this issue. But if it is a being that doesn't want to be found.
Well, we know even ancient Egypt buried their dead in tombs.
Yes.
So if you're talking ancient Egypt, you're talking 5,000-6,000 years, right?
And put that in perspective, what I told you today.
Yep.
The pyramids were erected for 1,000 years while... Like woolly mammoths and stuff walk the earth.
Yeah.
So that's how old.
So from the earliest civilizations, at least, humans have buried their dead.
Yes. So we know that much. If these are intelligent beings that when they're alive don't want to be found, who's to say, you know, they don't bury their dead or have special things they do? Or let me ask you this. We know bears exist around here, and I've hunted a lot in my life. I've never walked up on a bear carcass.
No, me neither. Me neither. And that's the thing. You grow up in this area, you know, just like me and Ryan, we hunt, we fish, we, you know, just hike through the woods, take the family and go through a walk through the woods. That's what we live in, is the woods, the forest. I mean, number one, it makes it really possible to see one if they exist and if they are in this area. But number two, like a lot of these things people talk about, just like you were saying, how many times do you walk up on any carcasses? That's my thing. Like every now and then you'll come up on a fresh, you know, kind of kill or whatever, especially, say during deer season, you know, things like that, when they're really moving, when the rut's going on, you know, you may come up on more carcasses like that, or like throughout what usually seems like the end of summer, when the coyote population starting, when things are dry, there's not a lot of rain, you know, they start moving around, especially in packs, and doing a lot of hunting. It's like they really pick it up. Right. You'll come up on some carcasses then.
Yeah.
But usually deer, you know, small animal, well, small animals are usually, you know, they're gone. They just take them.
Not much left.
So, you know, that I'm with you on that one. I think that if Bigfoot, if Sasquatch is an intelligent species, an intelligent life form, and if they exist, for them to evade people for this long, well, I say evade people, but evade a full-blown stamp on, okay, yeah, they exist, there's this population, here they are. Because I can't say evade people because, like I said earlier, there's been millions of accounts all throughout human history.
There's too many people, and we've expanded too much not to have these interactions.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I can't remember exactly where it was, but these researchers or these biologists were like, hey, you guys have gorillas in your mountains. And the people of that area were like, you're crazy. There's no... Okay, well, that was really recent. Like,
yeah,
they discovered mountain gorillas because those researchers were like, hey, we think you have gorillas in these mountains. The locals are like, you're nuts. There's no, we would know. No. They made a point of never interacting with humans.
Well, how many new species a year is found in the Amazonian rainforest?
Oh my God.
Like dozens each year.
You're talking almost a daily thing.
Yeah.
As far as insects, birds, primates.
That's the thing, dude. There is still so much. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, there's almost 8 billion people in the world. Yeah, we spread out to a huge portion of that. But there are still parts of this earth that not very many men, if men at all, have stepped foot into these areas. And just like we talked on the last episode with the whole missing 411 thing, and we talked about the possibility of, you know, what if some of these people are snatched by Bigfoot, which, you know, I've got some accounts that that could be a possibility. Hmm. And this cave system, like we talked about with Mammoth Cave, where there's a lot of Bigfoot sightings, this cave system runs for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles all the way from, you know, Kentucky to New York out to the Midwest. And that's all that they've tracked at this point. You know, that's all that they have.
Spelunked?
Yeah. Spelunking. I like to go spelunking. But no, man, I mean, that's...
I knew it.
That's the... That sounds dirty.
It does.
That's the...
I guess
you totally made me lose track of where I was at with it. Oh, yeah, cave system. So, not much of these caves have been explored. Explored was the word I was looking for there. Not much of these caves have been explored. There's areas of the world that haven't been explored. Why, if we're finding dozens of species each year in the Amazonian rainforest, why could there not be Sasquatch?
Exactly. Like, not, you know, we've been listening hardcore to that one podcast.
Oh, yeah. And I think we should give a big shout out to Wes Gurman.
Yeah.
Sasquatch Chronicles. Y'all check that podcast out. It's firsthand accounts, interviews. Check it out. It's a great podcast.
I will say this. Just use your own discretion when you're listening to these tales, because it's kind of like...
Just believe it all.
I can dive
in deep.
Just take it all in, I guess. These are the winning lottery numbers along with it. That's
the world will be a much more interesting place if you spend a little more time in Justin's crazy corner in the truth zone and a little less time over on that side with Mr. Science.
Yeah. Let's just drop all logic and run wild and free.
Sounds great to me.
With Sunflower, whatever I was talking about.
What was her name? We've said that every time and I get rid of Sunflower.
Moongrove something. I don't know. I told her to shoot herself, so I have to apologize for that. Did. My dad said, Jesus Lord, son, why did you say that? I was like, because I don't know. I was thinking about somebody sitting at home texting their boss they can't come into work because Venus is in transit and
Mercury's in retrograde.
It's in retrograde and the moon's waning, but her aura is waxing, so I just can't come in today. I would send a hit team
actually
out.
What you told your dad was, hey, Dad, this is my podcast. I'll say whatever I want to say.
I did. I did say that. And then my nephew came in, and I'd already told you all
about the boo hockey story.
The boo hockey story. So,
yeah.
And it is mine and Justin's podcast. And until Justin goes, oh, no, dude.
That won't happen.
Because I'm going to say, you know, I'll say whatever I want as far as being, you know, funny, that I think it's funny, but I'll never disrespect, downgrade.
No, we're never going to say anything to intentionally offend or hurt somebody or a particular group, or that's not what this is about. Just like from the get-go, this is about people coming together.
Exactly.
Being able to start conversations.
We do not agree on most. This is going to be the one time.
Oh, yeah, we agree. This is the one episode that we are both in it.
And there are still things that I'm like, no, Justin.
Yeah.
No.
Like, well, we'll get to that in a little bit. Yeah. We'll get to some of my crazy theories in a little bit that Ryan is going to, you know, just squash from the get-go and ruin all the fun and not get into any real, like, super fun conversations that we could have. Because he just wants to rain on my parade of crazy.
Was I going somewhere when I started talking? I've completely forgotten now.
I think we were just talking about Bigfoot could be there because there's so much land.
Want to point out that cave divers should find a new word other than spelunking.
Spelunking, yeah, that's a terrible word.
That sounds like something that happens at the end of a porn video.
Yeah, it does. I agree.
You just got spelunked.
Don't ever say that again.
We're going to get it. Oh, by the way, cave divers, you want to send hate mail out?
Yeah. AppalachianIntelligence@gmail.com.
I'm getting kind of worried that...
Because your inbox is so flooded?
Yeah. That I won't be able to keep up with the flood of emails that came in just by saying that.
Yeah. That's okay. I'm sure there's all four spelunkers out there when they send their email. We could probably handle that.
If I had Wi-Fi right now, I would give that guy a piece of my mind. You don't get Wi-Fi in caves.
The only person that I know that spelunks is the Christian Bale Batman. It's the only spelunker I know.
Oh, that's true.
So I don't know if I can really say I don't know if I can make fun of it because I love Batman. Especially Christian Bale as Batman.
Yeah, he was surprisingly good.
He was great
good.
Batman.
He was surprisingly good.
Okay, back to Bigfoot.
Yeah.
So, let's go back to the Native Americans. You know, the Native Americans, like you said, they thought of Bigfoot in a more spiritual way. They thought of them as spirits. That, you know, there was a differentiation between certain tribes. Certain tribes would, you know, they thought that they were evil spirits and to stay completely away from them. And if they did get too close or they did encounter them, then they just, you know, tried whatever they had to do to get rid of them or flee that area. Other tribes actually had like kind of, you know, a barter system with them. They would trade things with them. Like, you know, they made a peaceful civilization together to where they just kind of, okay, you've got your end, we've got our end, let's trade back and forth, let's do these things. And speaking of that, I think we both listened to this same episode, and I heard a lot of these Native American tales, and no offense to any, of the Native American population out there, but a lot of the old folklore to me is like Greek mythology. You know, a lot of it is just really, really, really so far out there. And there's nothing wrong with that, because with their culture and their belief system, you know, it's no different than what I talk about, I believe is truth in the Bible, you know, to them.
Yeah.
So, you know, but a lot of it to me seems really, really, really far-fetched. And that was kind of one of those things that I was like, really? You know, a lot of these accounts that I'm listening to, these Sasquatches, these Bigfoots, they're predators. I mean, they're not just there to, they're not a friendly forest giant. They're not there to make friends. They're a predator. You're coming in contact with them. And just like any predator, yeah, you may startle them. You may scare them. They may flee because of that. But if they feel cornered, they feel threatened, they're going to lash out like a predator does.
See, we actually have video evidence that that's not true. I don't know if you've ever heard of a little thing called Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah.
But
one of the great Bigfoot documentaries of all time.
That family coincided with Harry the whole time.
That's true.
He even stayed in their house.
That's true.
He was a pleasant guest.
He wrecked. Well, no, he wasn't. He wrecked the place.
Well, he did smell bad.
He was not a pleasant guest. He probably smelled terrible. He was like punching holes in walls. His head was going through the ceiling.
You let me tell you something. If he's a friend of John Lithgow, he's a friend of mine.
Well, it depends on what John Lithgow we're talking about. If we're talking John Lithgow as the Trinity Killer in Dexter, I don't want him to be my friend. That's a bad dude.
Nope, still my friend.
He would be. He would be.
Yeah.
But anyway, we both listened to this same, you know, out of the 800 and some almost 900 episodes on this Sasquatch Chronicles podcast that, you know, we've both listened to from time to time. The last couple of days in prepping for this episode, it seems like we've listened without any
correlation.
Yeah, without any correlation between, we've listened to the same episodes somehow. So I guess it was just kind of fate for this episode to happen. But this guy was walking, he was hiking.
Yes.
Through the woods, and he comes up upon this female Sasquatch. He says that he understands and realizes that it's a female because it has large breasts. So when he comes up upon her, he says that she's only, you know, 10, 20 feet away. And he's startled. He stops. She's startled because, you know, this is something that she doesn't recognize coming up into her area. But around his neck, he has this yellow towel. He said he was a big guy. He sweats a lot. So he would take this towel every time that he went hiking and to dab the sweat. And he, of course, was terrified in this situation, as I would be too. And anybody that says they're 10 feet away from a Sasquatch and says they're not terrified, they're lying.
Yeah.
Automatically. So he's terrified. The Sasquatch, he says, seems startled, but he keeps watching her eyes and trying to see any kind of facial
expressions.
Yeah, any kind of facial expressions to see kind of where she's at mentally. But he notices that she keeps looking at this yellow towel. So he's watching her, and about that time he hears a twig break behind him and notices the female's eyes glance over his shoulder. Well, he turns around and there's a bigger, darker, more masculine looking Sasquatch that has come around behind him, what I believe to probably protect the female in this situation, just like me or you would in a situation. You know, if our wife come face to face with a mugger, if we weren't seen, I'm going right behind that mugger and I'm taking him out. So,
well, it depends on what type of weapon he has. That's.
Oh, no, I'm taking him out straight out. It doesn't matter. If he's focused on her, taking him out. No anyway, way. So the female sees this yellow towel. The dude gets so scared when he sees the male Sasquatch that he passes out.
And wets himself.
And wets himself.
Before that.
No shame there. I probably would too.
He threw the towel on the log she was next to.
That's true. That is true.
She was tearing up that. He said it wasn't a rotted tree. It was just uprooted.
An uprooted
like
tree.
A storm had knocked
like
it
over. She was looking for grubs.
He noticed intrigue in her eyes towards that yellow towel. He tossed it on the tree. She made no like startled movement or anything like that. However, she glanced over his shoulder. That's when he's like,
yeah.
And as he turns, he says, I fainted. And he goes, and he's like, I'm ashamed to say it. He goes, but I urinated on myself. And I was
yeah.
like, well, that would suck. But
it would suck, but it's totally understandable.
Yeah, it would. Yeah. But when he woke up,
the towel was gone.
Yeah.
And they had left a folded up. Well, he thinks that they left, and I believe it too.
Well, I've never seen a leaf fold up around
a big banana leaf.
Yeah.
Folded up with grubs inside. Folded up like an envelope with grubs inside.
To where the grubs couldn't get out.
So to me and to this guy, it seems that these Sasquatch traded these grubs, the food that they were, you know, scavenging for.
Or bartered.
Yeah. And
like
took the
Native Americans.
Yeah. And took the yellow towel that the female liked.
Yeah. You hear a lot of different accounts. And one of my favorite things to watch on Bigfoot is Finding Bigfoot.
Yeah.
One, I enjoy the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate that they have Renee on there as a
skeptic.
Contrarian.
Yeah.
And like there are a lot of times because Matt and Cliff and Bobo tend to go directly into Justin's truth zone.
That's a good ring. That's got
really
a good ring
quick,
to it.
Really quick. We'll call it the JTZ.
Yes.
I just blew your mind.
You did.
You look so surprised right now.
Dude, that was good. The JTZ. I love that. Yes. Folks, that's copyrighted.
Yeah, we just did it.
Yeah. Let's
and finished.
That's great. That's great.
But, you know, talking about these things being predators. However, you put that level of intelligence there.
Yeah.
I think there would have to be a decision, not so much as morality or have morals about themselves being, and who knows, they might, I don't know. They may be sitting doing a Bigfoot podcast with each other right now that other Bigfoots listen to, talking the same thing about us right now.
You're like, blowing my mind. You keep blowing my mind.
I don't know what's wrong with these guys, but they got a room in the place they live where they poop, and that is gross. Why don't you walk down the hill like a respectable person and shit next to that tree, not where you sleep. You sleep and eat in there. You know, they could be having that conversation right now.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, they could. I don't think we can call this JTZ anymore. Now it's got to be RRZ.
No, I'm just
super
fired. No,
wait a minute. RTZ. Ryan, I forgot what the middle initial was there for me. Yeah, you may be right. They may have a massive amount of intelligence. We don't know. And that's the thing about it. You know, just like I hear quite a bit, I don't have one in my garage that I'm studying every day.
Exactly.
Nobody does.
These are our opinions, not
exactly
any kind of fact. This
exactly.
is just, and you know what? I don't even really believe what I just said. I'm just spitballing. I'm saying,
yeah, but I mean, this is the one area that you want to believe enough that you're willing to even make these scenarios that, you know, could not. Obviously, we don't really think that Bigfoot has a podcast.
No.
It'd be super cool if they did.
I would subscribe.
But that's what I'm saying. To me, I treat this the same way that I do, you know, the paranormal episode that we did with so many accounts it's hard for me to discount. Now, don't get me wrong. Just like with the paranormal, there are people that have some of these firsthand true accounts that are total crackpots. This stuff just ain't happening.
No.
It's not happening.
No.
Like, you know, we were talking a little bit before the episode, and I said we'll get there, but we're just having a conversation.
Yeah.
Like mind speak, the telepathy that's there. Now, if we believe that this thing is an animal, if we believe that it's some form of missing link or just other evolved primate or whatever you believe it to be, if you believe that this thing is flesh and blood, that kind of stuff is hard for me to believe. You know, the entire... Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that I don't believe that people can be sensitive and have, I'm not going to say psychic, but can have.
Go ahead and say it, because that's where you're going.
I'm trying to.
A little of this.
I believe that people.
A whole lot more of that.
I believe that people can be sensitive. I believe that people can have premonitions. I believe that people can, you know, do some of these things. I believe that people can do, see, hear, be a part of things that they can't even explain.
You believe people can be sensitive to that type of thing, not the animal itself.
Yes. Okay. If we're saying it's an animal. If you believe this thing to be a flesh and blood animal. We are. Humans are. This is a different species.
You're trying to go there.
We're going to go straight. We're going to go straight into some of these theories. Okay?
Let's do this.
And since we're talking about this one right here, one of the theories out there is that Bigfoot is extraterrestrial, is an alien, has come in a UFO and landed. And I will say, there is a ton of accounts out there that describe their encounters or their, you know, whatever you want to call it, that they'll see, you know, some form of unidentified flying object, or they'll see lights, or, you know, all these different things that people relate to a UFO sighting right around the same time that they'll see a Bigfoot. There's a ton of those accounts. Now, is that something that somehow, you know, if both of these things are real, is that is there some form of correlation there? To where these things are just showing up at the same time? Or is Bigfoot an extraterrestrial?
Or are aliens trying to figure out what that dude is walking around that doesn't look like everybody else?
Maybe.
Yeah. I would believe that before I believe Bigfoot's an extraterrestrial.
Maybe.
What would the odds be?
Maybe that's why we've never found a body.
Yeah. Well, what would the odds be that a hominid being with so many human traits breathes oxygen, evidently needs water, eats the same types of food, not be from this planet? That would be also to be able to, for the people that have had interactions with them, they would have to have some sort of communication. If they were like coming down to another planet to study, you would think they would know our language by now.
Well, maybe that's where the mind speak comes into play. You know, a lot of people that have UFO encounters or abduction stories, or like people that claim to have communicated with aliens, claim that that's how the communication takes place, is telepathically, is through, you know, these things never move their mouth, but I heard every word that they said. They gave me this command. They said this. I told you a story the other day about a little girl. Well, the parents were actually on an episode, and they were given an account of Bigfoot sightings that they had around their property. Well, while they were talking about these sightings amongst each other, you know, the husband and wife, their four-year-old daughter, 4 years old, came to them and said, you guys are talking about the thing that I see at the wood line at night. You know, and their minds are blown. They're like, what? You know, so she starts saying that she sees this Sasquatch almost every night and that it stands at the edge of the forest and it motions to her to come out. Like she's, in her words, like her mommy would do if her mommy needed her for something. So this thing motions her. And then she said it also tells her to come out and play. She says she hears this thing say, come out and play. So the mom and dad ask the four-year-old girl, you know, because they're wondering, okay, if this thing is at the edge of the forest, which is, you know, yards and yards and yards away. I'm not sure exactly how much, but it's a good ways away. You know, if this thing is screaming in some kind of language at our child to come and play, we should hear it.
Yeah.
So they ask the little girl this, and she says, no, the thing's mouth never moves, but I can still hear it. So this is a four-year-old child. And I'm not saying that just because of four, because I know four-year-olds have gigantic imaginations too. But that's one of those things to me. Now, unless the parents said, okay, this is what you're going to say. You know, we're talking to this guy, this Bigfoot guy. This is what you need to say. Yeah, maybe. I'm not going to discount that.
So the little girl wasn't actually telling this story.
No.
Parents were telling the story.
The host of this show didn't want to bring the 4-year-old girl onto the show.
Yeah.
The parents were, but the host of the show did talk to the little girl before they recorded the show on the phone. He talked specifically to the little girl.
I want to know if, while he was having that conversation, if she was using those exact words and speaking that well as a 4-year-old.
Well, yeah. Look, I get all that. Like, this entire account was probably, you know, we're talking a lot of lines of translation here.
There were
a lot of lines of translation. And I get all that. But what I'm trying to say is, if we go with the theory that Bigfoot is an alien and aliens, you know, or extraterrestrials communicate telepathically, that would account for the people that do have these Bigfoot encounters and say that they hear this mind speak.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that I believe it. I'm just saying that's the theory out there. And if all those things line up, that would account for it.
Yeah, that's why I just can't sink my teeth into that one.
It's actually probably the most far-fetched.
It's a bit nutty.
It's a bit nutty. You're right. Okay, so on to the next theory that I have down here. And this kind of goes back to what you were talking about earlier with evolution and all these different things. One of the theories is that these are people, but it's not Homo sapiens sapiens. These are Neanderthals.
Homo erectus or...
Yeah, because, and here's the thing, the Neanderthal remains that science has discovered, has found, you know, it's almost like these people that have found dinosaur, you know, fossils. You're piecing all of this together. And the people that have found it are usually just pulling it out of their hind end what these things look like on the outside.
Oh, yeah. They're just,
yeah. I'm not sure. So that's what science and culture, you know, as a whole has done for these Neanderthals. We've made them have all these, you know, human-like characteristics. But when you look at just the skeleton of these things, now, no, they're not giants. You know, they're not, you know, 7, 8, 9 feet tall, but they have a more flat, conical shaped head.
They have larger jaw lines,
larger eyes,
larger teeth.
They look more because they had to be more predatorial in nature. You know, more suited. You know, they were short, squat, more suited for hunt or for gathering, not so much hunting. I mean, they did, but you know what they could get. They were hunter gatherers. So That's how they were built. So with these Neanderthals, you know, I was listening to a scientist explain it today that what we think of as a Neanderthal, nobody really knows. You know, nobody knows if it had all these human features, if it had, you know, no hair all over its body, if it, these things could be exact replicas of Bigfoot that they have just evolved over time. And due to climate, due to environment, they've grown, you know, huge or small or, you know, whatever. This, Orang Minyak that I keep, I love that. I just like saying that. But it's in Mongolia, I think. And they say this like a 3 or 4 foot tall, just orange ape-like creature.
Oh, yeah. Like, could possibly be just...
just a chimp.
Yeah, an orangutan. Yeah. Something like that. Yeah, look, I did watch that episode one time.
But what if it's not? What if it's just built like a Neanderthal, you know, that we've found the remains of?
What if it's just a primate we haven't discovered? Like, especially over in Mongolia. That's a vast place. That's...
yeah.
Think of Russia.
It's huge.
I mean, there are 8 billion people in this world, roughly. However, there are still places on this world where no one has even taken it. They've never stepped foot there.
There's Look at Siberia. Alaska alone. Look at Siberia.
Yeah.
You're talking about Russia. Look at Siberia. I mean, you're talking conditions that if a human puts up with that every day, they're an idiot.
No.
Because it's literally... like step outside life or death situation every time you do it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Who would put themselves through that?
I mean, it's warm enough in here right now. I've thought about jumping out the door.
Yeah. I should have cut that fireplace off.
It's pretty fire, man.
It's
pretty fire.
So man. Beautiful.
It's not a real fire, folks.
It's really pretty though.
Yeah.
We're not lying about that part, but we probably should have cut it off and just let the lights go. The fake flames. But that's another theory that's out there, is that maybe these things are, you know, maybe the Neanderthals didn't completely die out. Maybe they just, like Homo sapiens,
just lived in the cave system.
Came about and evolved over time to fit their conditions.
Yeah.
You know, that's another theory. One of the theories I had down here was Gigantopithecus. You talked about that one earlier, so I don't think we need to dive back into that one, because I think that was a really good explanation of that. Really good. I'm hesitant about going into this one, because I'm afraid if I do, I'll just talk for the next 45 minutes, and I'm not trying to do that. So I'm going to keep it really brief and really short and let the people do the research for themselves.
Okay.
One theory is that the Sasquatch are a product of the Nephilim that you find in Genesis 6 in the Bible.
Oh, yeah. We discussed this at lunch today.
We're going to do a Genesis 6 episode somewhere down the line.
Yeah.
Because, man, I have so much information that I want to get out there about Genesis 6. But that's one of the theories, that... is that Sasquatch is a Nephilim, or is a product of whether that is being offspring or some kind of genetically manipulated product of.
I mean, are we saying that's what God altered them into when he cast them out of heaven? It's hard for me to believe when they talk about angels in heaven that it's a bunch of Bigfoots running around like...
yeah.
Playing harps and wings and halos and...
I don't believe...
Well, then again, maybe that's why when the angel came to the three wise men, do not be afraid.
Well, here's the thing. Genesis 6 says that the sons of God... so that's who God would have sent down, was the fallen angels.
Yes.
The sons of God mated with the daughters of men and created... the Nephilim. So they weren't created by God. These weren't the fallen angels. These were the product of the fallen angels and their relations with human mortal women.
This is the fallen sons of man offspring.
Yes. So that's a theory.
That's a theory. Okay. Okay. We'll just zip on past this.
Let's zip on past it, because I told you we could be here for...
Yeah, we could be here a long time, and I would just
Well,
have
we
to
are
be
going
like,
to be here for a full episode, and yeah. I'm not really... I've never even considered Bigfoot into any of that information.
You know what? Let's just pluck him right back out.
Okay.
And let's put him over here.
Bigfoot has nothing to do with Nephilim.
We're going to put him here in the RTZ.
But he might, based on... We'll zip on by. Let's zip.
Pluck him right back.
Zip on by. Another theory, obviously, of course, is that it's a hoax.
Well, there are a lot of those.
Yeah.
Which does piss me off a bit, because
you got a couple people ruining it for everybody.
Exactly.
Everything. Yeah.
You got these couple of people that will, like this one guy. And what got me was, is he had done it before. He had pulled a big hoax before. Then, just a bit amount of time later, pulls another hoax that he has shot and killed a Bigfoot. He has the body. He's had body scans done. He's had all these other tests done, lab results, all that. And now he's going to take this Bigfoot on tour and he's going to show it to everybody. So he goes from one state, I think he's in California, and I think he comes over into Oklahoma or somewhere like that. He made $60,000 on this trip.
Wow.
Only to later on his Facebook
page.
And
when was this? Like, what time frame was this?
He had a Facebook page.
Oh, well, okay. So 60,000 would have been 60,000.
Do you remember when, it was a few years ago, but CNN, Fox, NBC, ABC, they were all saying, this guy claims there's shot a Bigfoot. We're going to have this.
I don't remember this. I don't remember this one.
He made $60,000 off of this hoax.
That's insane. Dude.
To me, I'm sitting there, you know, I'm trying to read on to be like, did they just put a firing squad on this bastard? Because he should have never done that.
Yeah.
But no, like, it doesn't even talk about him giving money back or getting in any kind of trouble. And there were two guys in Georgia that did the same thing, got paid $50,000 by this Bigfoot guy. I just smacked my mic, people, sorry. There's this Bigfoot guy. Cannot remember what it's called. He has an organization, basically.
Yeah.
That organization paid those two $50,000.
Just creating an elaborate hoax.
Now, they sold them a frozen body. Only to find out when they thawed it out, the feet were rubber.
Oh, my gosh.
The hair was fake, and the skull was empty. And they paid them $50,000.
That's insane, dude.
And never read anywhere where those guys got in trouble.
That is insane.
But,
and they should be. These people should be prosecuted. I mean, because you're wasting taxpayer money, dollar, you know, for all this testing, all this stuff to go into. It's ridiculous. Yeah. Well, if you look at the Patterson-Gilman film, okay, some of the biggest evidence out there for Bigfoot.
Yep.
You know, 1971, the Patterson-Gilman film comes out, and it's what almost, I'm sure everybody watching this, listening to this, if you think of Bigfoot, this is what you think of.
You think of Patty.
Because it was, you think of Patty. It was that big. You know, every National Enquirer, every, you know, story that you see, whatever, about Bigfoot, that's the picture that they use.
And just so y'all know, Patty is the Patterson-Gimlin film star, the Bigfoot.
Yes.
It was a female. They outlined the breast, everything like that. But they dubbed her Patty. That is her name. That's what we're referring to when we say that.
Well, Patterson, the guy,
yeah,
was a movie. Well,
and they were loggers.
He
right?
wasn't a movie producer. They were loggers, but he.
They kept that camera in the saddlebags.
They did, but the thing about Patterson is, at this point, he had already received funding and got the production for a movie about Bigfoot. He was obsessed with Bigfoot. I'm sure if he's making a movie about Bigfoot, he's probably got a costume or something created for an actor to portray Bigfoot.
Yeah. And I think I've actually heard about Gimlin's son.
Yeah. Now, Gimlin never came out and said anything against it.
No, it was
Patterson died, I think, at age 39, somewhere around there, just a few years later of some form of cancer. I think lymphoma, like B-cell lymphoma, something like that. So the secret kind of went away with him. And Gilman has never, but Gilman's son did come out and spill a lot.
His dad said he was the one in the suit, all that.
And yeah. So with that whole thing, without all the sketchiness following Patterson around, I would believe it more. But for me, it's hard to believe that somebody obsessed with Bigfoot, somebody that craved to have a Bigfoot sighting, that was in the process of making a movie, actually did make the movie, and received royalties from it that Gilman is still receiving to this day, I think. I mean, you're going to rent a camera and then just... And the person that videoed this is either, you know, intentionally made this so jumpy and just sketchy and rough, or they're the worst videographer in the history of the world.
Well, you know, that what we were talking about, getting evidence of these things, and you've heard the term blob squatch, right? Because every photo, video of them are blurry. However, did you listen to that episode of that witness the other day talking about the fur, how it was hackling?
Oh yeah,
like a dog or cat's back.
I did,
and said that the fur was doing this, and I thought
defense mechanism.
Is that, would that hair moving like that make it impossible for a camera to focus?
Maybe.
It's the first thing that hit my mind when I heard that guy say
maybe
that.
It's more than just a defense mechanism. Maybe it's a stealth mechanism.
Yeah, maybe.
For technology, anyway.
Maybe.
I didn't think about that. That makes a lot of sense.
You got to evolve with the times, so it only makes sense that one Bigfoot dials up his other buddy on his iPhone. He's like, listen, dude, everybody has cameras now. We got to do something about this. I just actually said something that puts such a damper on the belief in Bigfoot, is everybody has cameras now.
Yeah.
And not only that, your smartphone cameras...
Oh, it's super awesome. It's HD. Like, it's as...
And motion and all that isn't a factor anymore.
No. But, well, I can't really go with that one.
Don't say telekinesis.
I'm not going to say telekinesis.
Oh, man.
I will say this. Okay. How often... I'm trying to think of the best way to phrase this, to put this. How often are you hiking through the woods? Because now most of these accounts are not like 10-minute stare downs. Man. Most of these accounts are, I was driving down the road, one crossed the road in front of me, animal. Or I was taking a hike, saw one pass over the other end of a point down a holler. Or... You know, it's always just fleeing glimpses, usually. No. 99% of the time, it's a fleeing glimpse of Bigfoot. Okay? So I would say, how many times are you in the woods where you're going to have your phone out and at the ready?
Yeah.
Now, I could see, you know, if you're taking pictures of scenery or whatever, but if you're doing that, my belief is, okay, how many times do you do that and catch a bear in the background? You don't. Because when animals hear you coming, they leave because they're scared of you. They don't want to be intruded upon. So unless you have your phone out at the ready constantly, and these investigation teams, you know, BFRO and all these, you know, Finding Bigfoot people, all these teams that go out there to investigate, I mean, they're usually in teams of what? 5 to 30 people?
Yeah.
How much noise are they going to make? There wouldn't be a Bigfoot around for a million miles. well, if these teams are coming in there.
The noise, the smell they put out.
Yeah.
Then making those ridiculous calls.
If these are animals, say, let's just say if they're flesh and blood animals like deer. We'll say deer because we've both hunted deer. When you go hunting, you don't go with a team of multiple people making calls, knocking on trees, doing all this different stuff to attract the deer. That's ridiculous.
You do use rattling antlers.
You can, but that's to call them in.
Bleak calls and things like that.
So I could see if one individual who was using, you know, some kind of scent protection or whatever is out there doing these whoops or whatever. I mean, I could see that.
No.
But are they more intelligent than a deer? Are they going to know a difference? Are these whoops some form of their language? And when we do it, it sounds just totally ridiculous to them.
Yeah.
That's my thing on that. The other part, the other 1% of that it is like a standoff, kind of like the guy that we were talking about. Dude, he was so terrified he passed out and wet himself. You yeah. really think he's thinking about getting his phone out and taking a picture?
Oh, no. Oh,
no way.
Gosh, no.
No way.
Well, you know what? I think we'll save that for part two because that's a really good one I want to talk about. You know how I'm talking about, the veteran.
Oh, yeah. That one's good.
That's probably my favorite one.
That one's good. I think part two, we have that account with the veteran on his own property up in, I think, Oregon.
Yes.
That was intense, like really intense encounter. And we're talking somebody who has served, I think, during wartime. I think, if I remember correctly.
Oh, he's a combat veteran, yeah.
And was armed to the teeth.
Yeah. Like somebody you don't want to mess with.
Yeah, he was armed to the teeth and well equipped and trained for any situation. Two encounters that I want to talk, not really encounters, these are events that I want to talk about on part two is... one of them is the siege of Hinobia. Okay.
I told you it's Hiroshima.
No, not Hiroshima. That's a totally different thing. The siege of Hinobia. All right. This all happened around the same family on the same, I think, like 40 acres. It was like these people's, their property was 30 acres. And then like maybe their dad or something had another 10 acres that butted up, something like that. But this was an event that, has happened for years.
Still going on?
And I believe
on?
It's still ongoing.
Oh.
That creatures have harassed this family.
Hmm.
And not just like one or two people, but I'm talking a family. Guests, neighbors, distant family members. Everybody has, and not to try to get too much into the story, but they did call in the BFRO, and the owner of this land, the dad, he pretty much sent this team away and said they're useless. You know, not trying to say anything bad about the BFRO because yeah. I don't know enough about them to know.
No, we don't know them.
But the way this guy's trying to call in people to exterminate a pest. He's trying to call in the exterminators, not investigators. He's done. Like, it's been that bad. So this story, man, oh my goodness. Like, I was listening to it today and just thinking, you know, these people are living through misery because these creatures. Hmm. Creatures.
All right.
So
you're going to have to stop yourself or you're
going to tell a story.
It's going to be episode two.
That's coming in part two. Also, and this is one of my favorites of all time, and anybody that enjoys Bigfoot or hearing about Bigfoot encounters. Oh, sorry. I just hit the mic too. Anybody that enjoys any of that stuff, the Bigfoot Wars of 1855. Man.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you've heard about this.
And we got to throw my dad's in there.
Absolutely, your dad's.
So,
you know, well, yeah, we'll throw that in there because it's a personal thing. And that's the crazy thing, man. That's what I love about what we've done so far with this podcast. Okay? Some of the listeners that we have, you know, and obviously anything that, you know, your family members or friends or coworkers or especially kids on your end is doing, you want to be there to support them, you know, all these different things. Like Ryan's dad, Jeff, bought this camera. He's a sponsor of this show. So obviously, you know, he's going to check these episodes out.
Yeah.
But in what we've done and in the conversations that we've had, you know, it got him to talk about an encounter that he had never talked about before, right?
Yeah. Ever.
And that's, to me, that's just awesome, man. It's awesome that just this little bitty podcast that we're doing here is giving some people the courage to step out and share stories, because that's what we're doing. Man. We're just two guys coming together in conversation, sharing stories, our experiences in some cases,
opinions,
for the world to hear.
Yeah.
So for that to give the courage to other people, especially our family members, people that we love, to come out and be like, oh, look, man, listen, this one time you made me think of this. Dude, that's awesome. That's awesome to me.
And like we said, I think very near in the future we'll be doing some, well, not live, we'll be doing some investigations of our own.
Yep.
Get the history of some places, take off.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like,
we're going to do some ghost hunts.
The wood booger, don't do the air quotes. We're on camera now.
I know.
the area that we're talking about where this wood booger name especially is huge, it's like 45 minutes, like a 45-minute drive from our house. The place that we plan on investigate, I mean, it's forest, it's woods, it's super dense. But it's also a federally owned, I think, federally owned park. So, you know, it's, the legend has come from somewhere. And there has been sightings there, which we'll also talk about in the investigation and maybe next episode here too. But what I love, kind of back to what I was talking about, just around even where we work. While we've been talking about this upcoming episode, you know, we've had a couple guys come forward and share their experiences with what they have thought was a Bigfoot. You know, something that's never going to come up in any conversation.
No.
Like, we work with a guy that said that he was deer hunting and came upon a big cliff face, and the area that he was getting ready to walk through was really muddy. And he said in the middle of the mud that he found a giant footprint. He said the toes looked like they were all the same size, looked like they all came to the same level, you know, not like slanted like a regular person's foot or, you know, different sizes, but like almost club footed all the way across. But there were five toe indentions, all perfectly circular. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know.
He got so freaked out. He said that every hair on the back of his neck stood up, that he instantly felt like, you know, he was just, he needed to get out of there. And that's exactly what he did. So there's a situation, a case where, you know, I don't know how long ago that was. I don't know if he had a cell phone on him at the time. But even if he could have taken a picture, he wasn't worried about it.
Yeah.
All he worried about was getting the heck out of there, because he felt awful about the situation that was coming about.
Yeah, I think that'd be a pretty cool moment, actually. I'm not going to lie. Whenever I'm out in the woods and I see damp areas that you, prints are easily imprinted, I always look. Ever since I was little, I always look. Because if I could ever see something like that, yeah, I could be like, oh, man.
It would be awesome. It would be.
I don't know that I'd be one of those guys that like goes out and makes a cast of it. And oh, here's my first cast. And
well, now, one of the most famous casts in history. I was also listening to this on an episode the other day. came from a, I think he was a deputy somewhere in Georgia, Pike County, Georgia. It's the Pike County, or no, what's the name of that place? Something Creek Cast. Started with E, I think. Anyway, regardless, this dude, and this is where we're going to get to some of these accounts, and we talk about this thing being a predator. Gosh, I would love to talk about this siege at, what's it called again?
Hiroshima.
The Siege of Hanobia.
Hanobia.
Yeah, Siege of Hanobia. Why is that so hard for me to remember? Hanobia.
Chernobyl.
I would love to talk about this so much because it...
I know. Well...
We don't have time.
You see how excited we are, folks.
This, dude, part two of this is going to be so awesome because we've had a good time today talking about the history and the... You know, all these different things going along with Bigfoot, you know, the origins, the theories, the all these different things. But, dude, part two, when we get into these accounts, actual firsthand accounts from the people.
Yes.
Man, it's awesome.
Who knows? Maybe we'll have one by the time we do part two.
Dude, that'd be awesome. Maybe we can manifest that. Nobody would believe it. There's no way.
Because we're in between.
Like I'm sitting here talking about Patterson, that's exactly the way people will be talking about us.
This will be our luck, too. I'm telling you. Like, we're going to walk out of this camper.
There's going to be one standing right there.
Cut. And I can already see the camera battery's on red.
Oh, that's not good.
I'm wearing my favorite give up on life pants, or sweatpants, if you will. And but the pockets are... And when I put my phone in there, it's not quick to come out. Mm. It's not going to get a fast picture.
We're not going to get a picture at all. I'm going to come back in this camper and lock the door and call Monica and the kids in the house and say, lay low.
I'm going to light up a cigarette.
Remember, these things are not friendly forest giants, Ryan. They're not hairy. They're not hairy.
I don't know.
And I'll tell you how I know they're not hairy. Because this cast, the most famous cast of, and you've seen this in every Bigfoot documentary that you've ever watched, on Monster Quest, all these different things. This dude was a deputy in Pike County, Georgia. Okay? This old man and woman, you know, husband and wife, like really elderly. They started calling this guy like a lot, like two or three times throughout the week, saying that... you know, this they thought was a person for a long time, and obviously so was just harassing them. Would knock on the walls wherever they would go in the house. It would knock on the walls where they were. It would at nighttime they would sit in their den or their living room or whatever and watch television. There would be this shadow in the window where they were watching TV. Like it would just literally stalk them around the house, especially at evening and night. Every time this deputy got a call to come out was between 10 p.m. and 3 a.m. every time. So the deputy, who is shorthanded, usually the only one working, he's coming out there. He's finding nothing. Okay. He comes out one time and the barn has been broken into and the dog food has been taken. Huge bag of dog food taken. Hmm. But the barn door, the way the deputy explained it, was almost looked like it had just been ripped off the hinges. He said, and this thing is the big, thick master lock on the front of it, solid hinges, you know, so there's no tool marks to get this door off. And it's not like bolt cutters. This door's ripped off the hinges. Dog food gone. A couple months later, the dogs go missing. Okay? One of the little dogs is named Peanut. This old man used to let Peanut outside every single night to use the bathroom. And he would holler, Peanut, Peanut. The dogs go missing. A few weeks after the dogs go missing, the old man starts hearing something outside calling for Peanut. How nuts is that? So.
Oh, you know what that sounds like?
It's like mimicry.
Yeah, like the, what? The Ojibwe tribe calls the Wendigo.
Yep.
You know what? You're not supposed to talk about those.
You're not. They'll show up if you talk about
them. We're definitely going to see a Sasquatch when we walk out of this camera. I'm going to be so
great. Mad. If we see a Sasquatch, y'all going to know about it. Right off the bat, we're coming back.
You won't believe us, but...
No, you won't, but it don't matter. We'll video it. We will video it. If we have to die... If you have to die to get this video, I'm willing to make that sacrifice.
Just make sure I get my cigarette.
I got you. But anyway, back to this story with the cast. So, all these crazy things keep happening. You know, this elderly couple, their lives are being, you know... It'd be awful, dude. To literally sit around the old man wouldn't go outside at night. He got so worried. So the deputy goes back one morning when he was off duty, where he actually had time to search the property and you know, look for clues or whatever. And still, when he's walking the creek that runs right behind the house, he's not thinking of a Sasquatch.
Yeah.
You know, he's not thinking of a Bigfoot. He's thinking this is still people that, you know, they don't like this guy or they're trying to do whatever. Well, then he finds his print. And it's the most famous cast. It's everywhere. And still, he didn't send it straight off. He got it, took it back in, got a sign somewhere else, and just put it in his closet and forgot about it for years. And some Bigfoot guy came around and was talking about how they had found a cast up in the Washington, you know, Pacific Northwest area. And he was like, oh, yeah, I got a cast. And they're like, what? A cast in Georgia? He said, yeah. So he showed it to them. They sent it to Dr. Jeff Meldrum, who is one of the, you know, utmost Bigfoot minds. Like, he does all these tests and all these different things, and he really believes that these are legit. He said this cast was totally legit. There was no way that it could have been hoaxed. An actual flesh and blood animal had to have made this cast, or had to have made this print that the cast came from, because of all these different things he said of, you know, pressure points that were indented and, you know, all this different stuff.
Yeah.
Like the weight had looked like it had shifted, you know, from heel to toe, kind of like just crazy stuff that if somebody's making a hoax, you can't really do. You know, the hoax couldn't...
You can't go from a flat to an arched print.
Right. And that's the kind of the things that he was saying. So, getting to it, that's the most famous cast happened in Georgia. Nice. And what they believe, or what this deputy believes, is that there was an account from a person in this area. There was a Bigfoot sighting, and this person that saw it reported it to the police and said that this Bigfoot looked sick. It looked really sick, that it was thin. It looked malnourished. It looked mangy. It looked like it could just kill over dead at any moment. So what this deputy finally believes after years and years and years and years, this guy lived out here all by himself, nobody else around. He took the dog food, ate all it. It wasn't enough to keep him. He took the dogs, ate them, wasn't enough to keep him going. And he was trying his best to lure the old man and possibly a woman to get them. So, would this have been a missing 411 case?
Gosh, man. You know, to think about that is chilling.
Yes, it's like chilling. Imagine, dude. Imagine your dog going missing for weeks. And then all of a sudden you're sitting. Okay, like I'll just take me for instance. Every single night, you know, if I have the television on, whatever, I'm the last one. I make sure the doors are locked. I make sure, you know, everything's cut off. You know, all these different things. I'm the last person in bed. I could not imagine if, say, my husky Iris went missing and every single night I was hollering, Iris, Iris. And then while I cut everything off at night and I'm getting ready to walk into my bedroom to go to bed, I hear something outside saying, Iris, Iris. I'm getting chills right now. Just thinking about that. Could you imagine, dude?
No, that'd be, I don't know. I don't, that would be terrifying.
Part 2 is going to be awesome.
Yep. Hey,
come back for part two.
Come back
it's
for part
be,
two.
That account that I just gave, that was just a little
tidbit
appetizer to get y'all ready, to get your palates cleansed and ready for part two coming up. Because, man, some of these accounts, anybody that thinks that Bigfoot is just this happy, jolly, oh, well, he's just out there, he's not bothering us, blah, 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 you're wrong. This is a predator. Do not get close to it. And we're going to go searching for it.
Yeah.
When warm weather comes around, we're searching for it.
I can't wait.
I can't wait either, dude. Part two is going to be great.
Yeah.
I think this has been great.
Oh, yeah. And it's a lot of fun, too.
I've had a blast with this episode, dude. You got anything else?
No. Just I don't want to die on our YouTube guys again.
Yeah, I don't either.
That,
so
that battery bar is looking red.
Hey, we'll wrap it up. We'll wrap it up. This has been a fun episode. We're glad you guys came back to hang out with us for a while. Check us out on any podcast platform. We're everywhere that you can get podcasts, pretty much.
You name it, we're there.
Check us out. Check out our YouTube channel, Appalachian Intelligence. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. Leave us a comment. Contact us if you have an encounter, a Bigfoot sighting, a Bigfoot encounter, a paranormal encounter, whatever you have, we want to know about it. We want to hear your stories, okay? We'll share them on the episodes. We'll leave your name anonymous if you want it to be left anonymous, or we'll share it, you know, with whoever sends it, if that's what you want. Just put that in the email. But send those to us. I mean, if you would like, if you've had an encounter with Bigfoot and would like to be on the next episode as a guest, email us, let us know. We'll make it happen. That email address is appalachianintelligence@gmail.com. If you have a story, send it to us. We want to know. Am I missing anything? Am I leaving anything out?
No.
A big thank you to our sponsors, Jeff Ratliff, Brad Heal. Big thanks to you guys. We would never be here without y'all. I think that's about it.
Yeah.
Rate and review, guys. Rate and review. If you listen to these episodes, wherever you listen to them, give us a rating. Give us a review. That helps other people find this podcast or this YouTube channel is by just clicking a button. You know, takes half a second. Just rate it and be honest with it. You know, be honest. Also with this email, if you have opinions, critiques, tips, advice, of course, stories, you know, anything that you would like to share with us, use that email. Do it.
Like and subscribe. Share on social media. Other than that, you got anything else, buddy?
I'm good, man.
Me too. We'll see you guys next time.
See you guys.
If Bigfoot don't get us.